To the brightest audience in the country. This is Joe Scott sitting in for Bob along with Leslie Hanks. Hi, Leslie.
Hey,
how
Joe.
Are you today?
Good, good. It's so fun to be here. Yeah. We haven't done this in a while.
I know. We've been hiding. You've been hiding in Hawaii. Was that fun?
It was. Wonderful.
Yeah, I bet.
Much better temperatures than we have here in Colorado. Today, it's in the 30s.
Yeah, it is. I got up this morning, and I had to leave very early, and my car was a sheet of ice.
That's right. No
just
fun.
Just had to chisel the windshield free. So, yeah, it was a rough day. So, we're going to open the show today with a pretty depressing subject. You want to take it?
Well, there's so much in the news these days about exposure of pedophiles and horrific things that are happening, you know, that have happened in this country. And one of our good friends, Carol Novielli, who used to be with Life Dynamics, is now with Live Action. She's written numerous articles about how Planned Parenthood and Friends lend a hand to the Harvey Weinsteins of the world. And I'm sure there's probably hardly anyone in the listening audience that hasn't heard the name Harvey Weinstein in the last couple of weeks. So we thought we'd talk about, we spend an awful lot of time at Planned Parenthood, and we know all the criminal activity that goes on there, and we're continuing to be bothered by it and baffled by why no one in Colorado government seems to be disturbed by the crimes that they cover up. So we just thought today would be a good day to sort of tie into what's going on in the overall culture and bring our friends' wonderful research to the forefront, and hopefully some folks can, you know, read and be aware of what Planned Parenthood's up to.
Yeah, they have created this culture that allows the Harvey Weinsteins of the world to exist. Now, give us a little background on Harvey.
Well, he apparently was an Oscar award-winning director for decades.
Yep.
And had the notorious casting couch in his history. So apparently you couldn't get a break in Hollywood unless you spent time with him in ways that nobody would really want to. So it's just despicable. And I think Bob's even spoken about, you know, his activity. And we just are so bothered by the fact that there's so much rape in this culture and so many children exploited. And if it wasn't for Planned Parenthood covering up all their crimes and the judicial system and the criminal justice systems in various states, foremost Colorado, we're speaking about, ignoring what they know is going on, you know, people wouldn't be able to behave in these illegal and immoral and unjust ways and get away with it. But Planned Parenthood enables it.
And so does the media, and so do the law enforcement agencies, the judicial system. It's
pervasive.
Pervasive. That's the right word. We have cases from Alabama, Arizona, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, and Washington, who have all had multiple instances of Planned Parenthood seeing a young girl walk into their abortion mill and not reporting to the right authorities. They're first responders, aren't they? Aren't they mandatory reporters? They're supposed to say if a young girl comes in 13 years old, pregnant.
Yeah, that should raise a red flag, but for whatever reason, Planned Parenthood and teachers and all kinds of other first responders have neglected to report. And in the way we started being interested, another angle on this is that in recent weeks, Denver has had somewhat of a scandal related to East High School, and
that's
sure
right.
You've heard about it, with cheerleaders being forced by the trainer and other adults to do splits and
to the point of torture. Yeah.
So some talk show hosts in the city have really kind of taken this case on, as they well should be concerned. And one of the angles that is being pursued is that there was a failure by a lot of adults that knew that this kind of behavior was going on, and they didn't report it. And they should have, but we're thinking, yes, that was horrible, but here we have children that are being sexually exploited and brought to Planned Parenthood and aborted and sent home with their rapist, and that's just not right.
That's not, it's horrific. It's horrific. Those children are scarred for life.
Absolutely.
You know, not just physically, but morally and spiritually, they are scarred because no one helps them. Some of the kids that we're going to talk about today, they've told the workers at Planned Parenthood. I hate to call them medical professionals because they're killing kids. That's not a
right
medical thing. They've told them that they're being raped, and nobody listens.
I know.
Nobody listens. When there's
money to be made.
They're way more interested in that money off the abortion than they are in women. Although the media purports that they are just the absolute pinnacle of women's protectors and women's
care no matter what.
Care no matter what, as long as they're getting the money.
That's right.
How many times have we talked to a woman that's gone into Planned Parenthood and come back out because they didn't have the money that Planned Parenthood wanted?
Absolutely true. Well, and, you know, that reminds me when you were talking about how these kids' lives are completely ruined, of when we took the evidence that Life Dynamics actually had done that undercover sting.
Right.
And there was a gal that, you know, made numerous phone calls all over the country, but specifically to Rocky Mountain Planned Parenthood, and purported to be a 13-year-old girl. And she was told to call back and not say how old the boyfriend was. I think she admitted that the boyfriend might have been an adult, 21 years
old. Oh, and the worker would say, oh, don't say that. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. That's illegal. Coached them and told them, this is illegal. You can't tell me. So call back and don't tell me.
That's right. So we took that evidence, that undercover sting. It was, I believe it was an audio tape in those days, right?
Yes.
I don't even think it was a CD because it was in the 2006 or 7. And we took it to John Souther's office, the Republican Colorado Attorney General. We didn't actually meet with him. We met with his assistant, Jason Dunn. And, you know, we said, here's the evidence. We know Planned Parenthood is covering up statutory rape. It's criminal. And how can you help? What can you do? And we were told nothing. They could do nothing.
No, they told us, Leslie. We were told something. They told us that you and I had to find out how old the girl was, that we had to find out how old the father was, and we had to gather all that information, and then we could go. That's their job.
I think they said that we had to prove there was a conspiracy that they were training their people to.
And that was another thing, yeah.
So I know I've got the article that actually is on Bob Enyart Live that says that I was practically weeping and saying, these kids' lives are being ruined.
Mm-hmm.
And what can you do? Can't you use your bully pulpit? And the answer was, like you said, no, you folks have to go out and prove that they, you know, have a conspiracy to train their people to ignore it. But we know all over the country they are not reporting.
And we have evidence from former employees that they are training their people to sell abortions and push abortions. In fact, there was a recent video just a week ago about a former employee talking about how she was going to, was an older woman. And she was taught to tell the girls, she was taught how to sell the girls. Now, you can't have this baby right now. You're not old enough, or you don't have enough money. So let's just get this over
with. It'll ruin your life,
all of that. And so she was taught to sell abortion, and she was good at it. So she was talking to, I think, Lila Rose. I'm telling that story.
Oh, right, right.
So
I thought you were talking about Holly, who was the medical technician that was sent in to harvest the baby organs that
they're not selling.
that we know they're selling.
Yeah.
One
exactly.
More thing that should be investigated, but in Colorado we have an attorney general now, Cynthia Kaufman, who's a Republican who should care, but I think she's derelict in her duties to investigate, and she says it's not her responsibility, it's the health department's responsibility, and yet the gentleman that runs the health department has testified in favor of Planned Parenthood at the Capitol.
So how are you going to get anything done? You're not.
Well,
and the young women in this town are unprotected.
That's right.
And we see it, Leslie. We see it at the abortion clinic, the mindset of these young women who are just so, I want to say wicked, that might be a little strong, but they're so hardened and so emboldened in their lifestyles that, you know, they've been sexually abused, and that now they're older women and they're fighting for their rights, and it's like their heads are screwed on backwards.
Well, and so many of them, as we observe them going in, we have no idea. They could be, you know, in sex trafficking and being forced to go through these abortions and not, you know, doing it willingly.
We've talked to ladies that have. Remember Abdi, the Muslim woman who went in for what she thought was a checkup, because she had been raped. And unfortunately, in the Muslim community, women who are raped believe they're not good suited for any other man except the rapist.
That's right.
So he was beating her. And he told her, well, we better get the babies checked out, because she was carrying twins. So she went in expecting a physical exam to see if the babies were okay, and they aborted her. She can't read English, and she signed all the papers, and she had an abortion. I didn't meet her that day, met her after it was over, when she was going back into Planned Parenthood to get the paperwork. And when she came out, she pulled over to talk to me and just wailed and said, he killed three people that day, not just my babies, three people. And
it's
Planned Parenthood was not a place for her to be safe, to feel like she could talk to anybody. She didn't know she was being aborted until it was too late, you know. And we talked a lot, and we talked about Jesus and how she could know, she could see her children in the future. She showed up at the abortion clinic maybe 3 weeks later with a great big bag of clothing that she had bought for me. Size one. That isn't working, folks. But I didn't say anything, because she was so sweet, and she said, I had all my clothes packed and all my money out of the bank to send back to Ethiopia, because I was going to commit suicide.
Oh, that's heartbreaking.
But she didn't. But if we hadn't been there, if nobody was there to talk, nobody would have stopped her. One of the things that we did do was record her rapist. She called him on the phone, and we recorded him. She said, why did you do that to me? Why did you rape me? And he admitted it. So left the country, because we told him we had the recording, and he took off.
Wow. He should have known that if you had turned it in, the authorities in Colorado probably would have done nothing.
Well, he didn't know that, thank God.
I know.
All she wanted was the paperwork. Before she committed suicide, she was going to show it to his father that he had really raped her, because he said, no, she's just, you know, the horrible names they call women and stuff. So I talked to her a year after that, and she had actually married. So she has a life.
That's good.
But Planned Parenthood is such a cesspool of broken lives and dreams for women. Yet, I don't understand how women can stand there and say, I'm so proud of my abortion. They're facing, in the future, their cancer problems. They're facing probably all kinds of problems if they want to have a child. They just don't report. And we're going to talk about that now. I'm taking too much time on this.
I did want to mention, too, in going through some of the articles, and Carol Novielli has just done incredible research. So she's got the Harvey Weinstein article, then she's got Planned Parenthood failing to report child sexual abuse for decades, part one and two. And when I was going through these articles today, I came across statistics in Indiana. And our friends from Operation Save America, Rusty Thomas and Brooke Guerrero and Christine, I can't think of her last name right now.
I know, the hosts will be there, Joe Hulse and Rich Hulse.
Right, and maybe Ellen Master. And so they're having a big event. And last year they did try to carry a bill to abolish abortion. And, of course, they wound up with similar problems as to what Texas ran into, which is leadership in those states, as, you know, in most states. They'll just obstruct and not allow the bills to be heard. But anyway, Rusty does a marvelous job, and so they're there to highlight abuses and try to educate people as to why Planned Parenthood shouldn't be operating in Indiana and why abortion should be abolished. But in Carol's article, I came across this crazy statistic saying that the Indiana Medicaid Fraud Control Unit was investigating a complaint that Planned Parenthood of Indiana neglected 73 of its minor patients by failing to report child sex abuse as required by Indiana law. That's a huge figure. And that's just one of, you know, so many. It goes on to say, a 2013 report published in Indiana Right by Indiana Right to Life revealed numerous abortions on young girls under the age of 14 not reported as required.
Numerous.
It's, and these girls are, they're 11, 12, 13 years old.
It's systemic. It's not just Indiana. It's systemic throughout the abortion industry, not just Planned Parenthood, but throughout the industry. Unless you cross Planned Parenthood and then they'll take your business over. But these girls, numerous girls under the age of 14, have no protection. And I went, you gave me this information and I was reading it and it was just making me sick. Mm-hmm. Time and time again, these young girls go into these facilities and they're completely abused, re-abused by the abortion industry because no one takes the time, even if the girls tell them that they've been raped.
And one thing I noticed in reading this article that I had never noticed until today is that several of these anecdotes mention that the girl's raped by like a stepdad, and then they're so afraid when they're in there, they fabricate and say that they have a teenage boyfriend. Did you notice that?
Yes, that's constant here. This is one, this is one from Ohio. Denise tried to put an end to this abuse, which had started in 2000, by informing a Planned Parenthood employee that she had been forced to have sex and do things she didn't want to do. Planned Parenthood and at least one other of the defendants did not report their knowledge that Denise was a victim of sexual abuse. She's 16.
Yeah, but seriously, I believe anybody under the age of 16 that comes in pregnant, that should be mandatory reporting.
It should be, but if you, Leslie, just pure common decency,
decency
towards another
sense.
Person, if they tell you, if somebody comes into your office and says, please help me, I'm being raped, you just ignore it and you champion women's rights? Come on,
so
that doesn't
absurd,
happen.
Right? And some of these girls, they've been molested by a step-parent or, you know, friend of the mother's, whatever, and then aborted, and then they show up again a couple
second
of
time,
months later,
yeah.
And still no reporting.
One of these girls was 14, already had two children, and was forced to have two abortions. This is just,
well,
where was their concern?
In one of the articles that Carol wrote, she talks about a case we've probably mentioned before, but it's actually here in Denver, the 13-year-old girl.
Oh, she did write about it, yeah.
Yes, whose stepdad molested her for 7 years, and she finally, I think, when did it start? Like maybe when she was six. So she gets pregnant when she's about 13.
Yeah.
And they, you know, the stepdad brings her in. They have two different last names.
And they're fighting.
And
she's calling him by his first name.
And they still aborted her, gave her an injectable contraceptive, and sent her home with
against
a rapist.
Against her will.
Against her will.
No, I mean, they gave the injectable contraceptive against her will. That she didn't want it, and they gave it to her anyway.
Right.
So, yeah.
But that in that case, there was a slight amount of justice. He is currently incarcerated,
yes,
I believe.
Is.
The girl finally told her mom, and so he wound up being arrested. And
one of these.
But through no fault of Planned Parenthood's, they didn't help.
No.
But they, I think they did wind up paying off the family so that they never really had. It never
so
came
we
to
don't
light.
Get the, that's what always
legally.
Happens. Legally, we never get the facts. But. And one of these stories, it talks about a young woman who's being raped by her stepfather and her mother's involved.
I did see that, yeah.
Yeah, and so when she goes in and needs help, where does she turn? There isn't anyone for that poor child to turn to. This didn't exist. If abortion was abolished, and you'll hear all the parole boards say, you got, it's a woman's right. What's going to happen? They'll use coat hangers. Yeah, one or two will use a coat hanger until they're dead, die a couple of times, and that'll end. But what about all these young women that are being abused before they're even teens, a lot of them. They're 12 and 13 years old. What about them? Who cares about them?
I really do not understand why our culture is so blind to the suffering of these kids. I just don't get it.
I think the media has a lot to do with that. The media and the public schools, and, you know, you tell somebody that you're fighting for their rights, and you just pervert them when they're very young, like Planned Parenthood tries to do from kindergarten on or preschool on up. You sexualize a child. What else are they going to know?
Well,
when you replace the normal inhibitions that a child has with the sexualization of a child, when you replace the normal morals that God would that has instilled in us with Planned Parenthood morals, you've ruined a child.
And when the natural father is out of the home, which is the case in so many of these situations where it's a step-parent that's molesting the kids, you know, the natural dad would be there to protect his kids.
Right.
In an ordinary scenario, but so much divorce these days and so many babies born out of wedlock. And
the Bible talks about how wicked we can be without God. And we've completely taken God out of the picture in a lot of homes. You know, the public school doesn't allow it. It's made fun of in the media or absolutely condemned in the media. So children don't have what we had, Leslie.
Right.
They don't have a decent way to find a healthy relationship in this culture. And you see it everywhere. We see homosexual kids all over the place looking for love and having no idea that it's not love, it's lust.
That's right.
There's no safety in that relationship. There's no stability in that relationship.
And even Disney now has a new cartoon or something coming out promoting homosexuality. So parents, we need to wake up. There's a problem.
You know, how can we expect the secular parents to wake up when the Christian parents don't?
Well, that's a great question.
You know, you put your children in public school knowing what they're going to be taught. Knowing what they're going to be taught. And you're a Christian. How does that work? They're going to be taught that evolution is real, that God is whatever you want him to be, you know.
Or he doesn't even exist.
Or he doesn't exist.
Public schools.
It's crazy. And if the Christians can't take a stand in that tiny little niche, where are they going to take a stand? You know, how many Christians drive by an abortion clinic every day? Don't even think about it. It's just like the Germans driving by.
The vast majority.
Yeah, driving by a death camp. It's the same thing because you can't hear these children screaming doesn't mean that they're not children. And so many Christians say to me, I am not called to be out there. I will give money. I will pray. Well, none of us are called to be out there. We're commanded to be out there. It says rescue those who are unjustly led to the slaughter.
That's right.
It's not a calling. The blood is flowing in our streets because it's flowing in those abortion mills.
Well, so, as we know, going back to what you mentioned earlier about David DeLeiden, when they did the undercover sting catching Planned Parenthood at 38th and Pontiac selling baby body parts, Savita Gindi, the medical director, admitted at that time, she said that they typically do 25 abortions a day.
Right, and she was picking through the body parts and talking to David, I guess, at the time, saying, well, maybe we should not sell these babies as a whole because we can get more money per part.
More bang for the buck if we sell it by parts, that's right.
You know, and
that's been almost 2 years ago, and it's like it was not, you know, maybe a week or two afterwards, we had a big rally in front of Planned Parenthood. There were about 1,000 people. And then now, you know, it's back to ho-hum. Nobody seems to care if it gets resolved or if Planned Parenthood gets shut down, which it should.
You know, Christians, if you're listening to this program, we need help at that abortion mill.
And we need people to call and ask their elected officials, why is nothing being done?
Right. We need people to do more than just call, though. You need to hit the streets. You need to make what is such an abomination to God go away. The politicians are not going to end this.
Absolutely not. It's been 50 years, Joe.
I know. Only the Christians and doing what's right every day. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something, and that's just the way it is when you're a Christian and you stand up for God. There is a cost.
If there's no cost, you need to examine what it is you're doing with your life, because really, why is the church completely asleep at the wheel? Does your pastor preach a sermon? Ours does. We're very blessed that
yes.
He's completely against abortion and works extremely hard 24/7 to end it. But most people in this city or in this country, their pastors don't do anything more than maybe perhaps one sermon a year on Sanctity of Life Sunday.
Abortion exists because the Christian church allows it. We have all the power in heaven at our fingertips, and we use it to get a new car. Pray for something we want. I mean, there's actual spiritual battles going on out there all the time. You have to, if you're going to be out at the mill, you've got to be able to pray, and you've got to be able to hang on to God. We had an atheist with us one time, and he said to me, Joe, I don't know how you do this every day. He hated abortion, and he tried to come every day, but he didn't have Jesus to lean on. I said, you don't have anybody to give you comfort. You don't have anybody to help you have wisdom. You don't have anyone to lean on. That's why you can't do it every day. And he finally said, I'm not doing it anymore. I can't do it.
Well, that's the case. I mean, people occasionally will come and want to help, but it doesn't seem like there's a lot of commitment from a lot of people.
Not from born-again Christians. It's a lot easier to give money, go to a crisis pregnancy center, but those babies are being ripped to shreds every day, and those women are
living with a lifetime of regret.
Encountering all kinds of problems, physically, morally, and spiritually.
Right.
You know, and if they don't have regret, they've hardened their heart to Christ. And we're supposed to be reaching these women, not forgetting about them and, oh, patting them on the back after they have their abortion. Come on. That's wrong. It's wrong. We need to wake up.
Well, I can't disagree with you there.
I know. This is one of my pet peeves. Christians could end this, and they just don't want to. It's going to cost something. You know, I spent years in court. Years. But I've also seen God do things that none of them have seen.
Praise Him.
Yes, praise the Lord. And you can see it too if you just take that step in faith and live for Christ and save those babies.
Step out of your comfort zone.
Amen. Thanks for listening.